Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from the Comedy Store, West Hollywood, California. That's right. This is the third episode in a row. This is our last episode from La La Land. We got ahead. That's right. If you're listening right now and you are in Austin, Texas, baby, I am there tonight. That's the last live you up of the tour. So come on out. Get your friends out. Let's celebrate the end of the tour because I'm in Austin, Texas tonight. But otherwise, I'm coming to Springfield, Mass., Naples, Florida, Salt Lake City, Utah, Buffalo, and Nashville, San Diego. So listen, people, jaredfried.com, jaredfried.com. We do this every Tuesday and Friday. We take your emails, your questions, your stories. I say it every week. Let me say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you. That's how we do it here. That's how the word gets along. I need you, people. Feather my nuts. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a coworker. Tell that person in your life that you want to give the gift of J Train. It's that time of year. Someone's out there. Someone's wondering. Someone's saying, these thoughts of mine in my own head are no fun. Very excited about today's guest. Not new to the podcast. She actually did it way back when I did a live show in Chicago. Very happy to have her back. Becky Robinson, thank you for coming.
What's Gucci, my love? I'm so honored to be your last LA guest. You really landed the most famous person in Tinseltown.
It's
so I really just want to say.
Your people were so nice. We sent the black car over.
Good, yeah.
And you made it through.
The black car in the form of the cowboy boots that I sprinted here in.
You sprinted here to be a part of this.
Yeah, because Jamie was like, Jared wants your ETA. And I texted, was she showing you the text?
No.
I was like, tell him he can shove it up his ass.
Oh my God. Well,
I wanted a beer, but I woke up from a nap kind of late. Because I ate a bunch of pho earlier and it fucked me up.
Pho is an underrated put you to bed food.
Yeah, it's like a melatonin in the form of a noodle.
It really does, and it's like, you're filling your stomach up with a bag full of soup. Because it's so much.
It's so much.
You always eat the whole thing. You're like, oh, I'll only have half. And then you get like halfway through, you're like, I've come this far.
I can't stop. Well, because I also, how much sriracha do you put in yours?
It depends. It depends on what I'm dealing with. Sometimes I'll get all the time, I get a, I'll get an appetizer of a summer roll.
With the peanut sauce.
Sometimes I'll do the vegan summer roll because I like.
You like tofu giblets?
It's whatever they put in it. It's not tofu.
Oh, it's like pork or meat or something?
It's like a fake pork that it's sweet.
It's good.
I love it. I love it so much. Someone's going to DM me what it is. But I do. So now I'm full of what is a summer roll, but it also has the noodles from the soup in the summer roll. Mm-hmm. Now I've doubled up on noodles, doubled up. And now I'm putting the salty liquid in me, and it knocks me out. I've done it before shows, and I've been like, I have to leave here immediately after this.
I'm not. Dude, the past 2 weeks, I was just in Sayulita for a wedding where we'll get into because, you know, I fell in love. But Montezuma's Revenge, they ain't lying.
Hold on.
I'm not mad.
We follow each other on social media. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Yeah. Everyone go Likewise. Follow Becky on Instagram, at BeckyRobinson4, okay? She is L.A. local, so she is doing a show December 17th at UCB Franklin called Snow Circus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a character showcase. I want you to explain what that means, because this is a funny podcast. This is by no means an inside, you know, the look of the artist of a comedian. We're here to answer questions, but I want you to explain what that means. What are you doing on a character show?
Well, I mean, you know, we all come to the realization that we're like, oh, we can be doing whatever we want on stage. Mm. There was a while that the hour I was taking on the road, like sometimes I would pack my wigs, but I was like, I'm not happy with this. Okay. I know I can be doing more. I dance. I do backflips. I sing.
Sure.
Like, I love doing these characters so much. And we travel to such odd cities across the United States that I was like, I want to make up this medley of a show that kind of speaks to that.
Okay.
And so it's just completely fucking wild. It involves the audience. It's a little bit of clowning. It's stand-up. It's characters.
Do you do clowning? Are you a trained clown?
Well, I didn't.
I know that's a question.
No, I'm not a trained clown.
Someone is listening going, what the fuck are you asking?
Yeah.
But you... I think that's so funny because someone's listening going, I'm going, are you a train clown? Being totally serious. Because we have met people at... I remember there was a guy who used to come to open mics who's a trained clown. He had gone to clown school and he was amazing because they teach you very different skill set there. And people are like, oh, you're asking if she went to clown school. No, no, no. This is a real thing people do. So you have, you're not a classically trained clown.
No, I'm not one of the Geppettos that's taken proper clowning class. Okay. And I'm so sorry. But I think the main thing that they try to teach you there is like how to find the root of like what you... It's almost like rekindling your childhood spirit. And I feel like I've kind of, through the years, been trying so much stuff on stage that I found it organically, or at least whatever I'm doing right now, I'm having a lot of fun with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's basically...
I want you to explain. So here are your characters. Here are your characters.
Yeah.
Beverly Center.
Okay, so Beverly Center is like, hey guys, whore. She's a micro-influencer, and she's nothing more than to get an unboxing gift from Glossier. She's not going to lie to you. I mean, like, her whole goal is to have her own parking spot with her name on it at Erewhon.
Alan Gingrich.
Alan, teen tech billionaire, inspired by a kid who made me bomb so hard when we did a TED Tech talk together when I was just starting stand-up.
So wait a minute. You did a TED talk.
I did a TEDx talk. Sorry, I don't
want to... Why would you do that to yourself? What was your TEDx talk about?
You remember being a new stand-up?
Of course, but I'm saying... What was your talk going
to
be on?
So the theme was discovery, and they asked me to come in because there were some really heavy stories, including this little goddamn teen tech millionaire.
Okay, what did he create?
Apps. He makes like apps for like dumb America.
So he's like a coding genius.
Yes.
Okay, this makes sense.
So it was based off of like the pain that I felt. Like I lost so many nights of sleep. I had been doing stand-up for like a week. I had one joke that was about giving Roadhead at the time. And they were like, can you do 12 clean minutes? And I was like, oh my God, of course.
Okay.
And I ate so much shit. And it was like a multi-cam being filmed for like nothing, like PBS. But still,
sure, but they put it up.
It went online. So I had to be like, hey, can you guys please take this down? Because it's truly so tragic.
Why did this kid ruin your night?
Because he made the audience... I think there's like nothing cooler that you can do as an audience than like taking them from the spectrum of making them laugh to cry to laugh again.
Sure.
I think that's so beautiful.
Of course.
And he did that, and he's also a millionaire at the age of 13.
How do you make him laugh?
He had great jokes.
Really?
Like, I don't remember them,
but kids, so you can make the joke about I'm a kid.
For sure. It's like, you remember when Amanda Bynes did stand up and she was like, shouldn't have that 13 candy bar.
Yeah.
Like, and you're just like, fuck, that's funny somehow, you know?
I you know, there's nothing that makes me harder than a kid not getting a deal on Shark Tank.
I know.
I love that. I love when he's like, I got an app where it helps with your homework. And they're like, fuck you, kids don't have money, shut up. And it's like, and like these kids.
And then he's like, no, no, it actually goes toward building homes somewhere. And you're like, fuck.
Oh, damn it. So like there's the Alan Gingrich.
The kids have figured some shit out ahead of
they
us.
They always, they're always no sleep kids.
So Alan, in my creation of him, like Alan is one of the fake executive producers of a show I made up called Shark Tank Jr.
Okay.
That's just for kids
and
on NBC.
And Alan Gingrich is that character.
Yes.
That, and there's Susie Chapstick.
Susie Chapstick is actually based off a real person.
Okay.
She's a pro skier back in the day who kind of became like the first original influencer for Chapstick. Her name was Susie Chapstick. And then they started calling her Susie Chapstick.
Okay.
And they like kind of over-sexualized her. But I like Googled the other day and there is a pilot online of her and she interviews Buddy Hackett.
Oh, wait. Susie Chapstick is a real, like that's her name you're using?
That became her like thing. Because she would do these commercials where she'd come down the mountain. She'd be like, boy, my lips are chapped. And then she'd put on her Chapstick.
Donnie Cush, California. Donnie Cush.
Yeah, based off of every MedMen employer I've ever met.
Okay, so these are the characters.
Donnie Cush, California. He's a weed doctor.
Do these characters like interact somehow in the show?
Yep.
And this is the whole thing?
Yep.
And you're dressing. I love this. So everyone should go.
I'm glad you love it.
UCB Franklin.
It's very fun.
December 17th.
Yep, that's right. December 17th, 11 p.m. at UCB Franklin. I'm also, well, this isn't going to come out in time, but I'm going to be workshopping it in Portland, New York, Seattle, and San Francisco. So if you guys are around in the coming months, I'll be posting all the info on my Instagram, but it's all like...
at Becky Robinson 4. She'll be on my Instagram. You can find her there and find all the characters from there because I just found them from looking on her Instagram. And she's going to be in Aspen February 20th through 21st.
Yes.
So if you're around Aspen...
Adam Ray.
Oh, with Adam Ray, who's been on this show before.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait, I want to ask you a question.
Oh my God, yeah.
Okay, so I follow Becky on Instagram. I'm following your stories. I see that you're at a wedding.
Yeah.
You go to a wedding. Who's the friend that, who's the wedding you're at?
So her name's Haley. She was my first friend in college. I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and then, well, technically Tigard.
Where'd you go to school?
Tigard High School. So, like, outside of the city.
Where, no, where'd you go to college?
Oh, I went to college at San Diego State. And okay. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a single friend. And she was the first person I met on moving day in the dorms.
Got it. So and now you're at her wedding.
Yeah.
And you're in the wedding.
No.
Okay, so at the wedding, having fun, and you meet a guy at the wedding.
Yeah, so on the first, like, you know, they do like a pre-cocktail night or whatever where everyone mixes and mingles and sizes each other up and tries to figure out who they're going to fuck for the weekend.
Yeah, that's not how I would put it, but yeah.
Well, how would you put it?
Well, what happens at a lot of weddings is you get there and everyone is like in tune to who the single people are, who the non-single people are. So then the non-single people are boring. So all they do is go is try to tell the single people who they think they should match up with. As you get older, there's less and less of these single people.
Right.
And it gets more awkward because you're older and there's two people, a man and a woman who are single, and everyone's like, please fuck so we have something to talk about. And you're
exactly.
like, I don't know, I would like to, but maybe that person doesn't want to. I don't know what the dynamic of this wedding was. Was it all single people or were you?
No, there were quite a few couples. There are a bunch of our friends that have just recently gotten married too. So some of us, a bunch of us had actually just met at that last wedding in Tahoe over the summer. So that was kind of fun to see them again in another one. But I knew basically everyone at the wedding. Like I know Haley's mom. I know everything.
So you're at the rehearsal dinner on Friday night.
No, I didn't get invited to that because I wasn't the bridal party.
Is this the after the rehearsal dinner?
Yes, this is
so
the
So you're at the drinks after the rehearsal dinner. Correctamundo. Everyone's hanging out.
And I had already heard through the grapevine of, you know, Squadron of Hyenas that there were ample single slices of dick.
Okay.
So naturally, I was going in excited. I wore my best ensemble. I did a smoky eye. I went in.
So now you're at the cocktail hour. How do you come to this dude who you came to?
That part is, I'm going to be honest, that part is a little bit blurry.
Okay, so that night, he's the one that came to you. Like, because this happens in a couple different ways. This happens the post-rehearsal dinner cocktail party. Mm-hmm. You're there. He makes a play. Or someone says to you, which one do you want? You said, I want this one. And then he makes the play.
Well, I was kind of chatting up this one little Geppetto. Mm.
Geppetto, explain
that. Is a term I use in reference to any guy that I either have eyes on or can provide some sort of servitude to me.
Okay.
Or just someone I love.
Servitude.
Or also like a child. I don't know. It's interchangeable.
Okay.
If that
Could
makes
get confusing for a podcast. But
yeah,
okay.
The guy, this new guy now that I've got a date, he's like, he still doesn't get it. He's like,
I'm a little fuzzy too.
He was like trying to ask my dad. I'm like, yeah, just don't worry about it.
What if your dad was like, it's for men who serve her? So
I'm talking to this one guy and then we end up going to another thing and somebody's like, the guy you're talking to actually has a girlfriend. He's just not telling anyone and he's kind of sketch. And I was like, all right.
He's
so
out.
I was like, hey, you buy me a shot. So he bought me a shot of Fireball. I projectile vomit.
What,
like,
really?
You know, when you're trying to make your way to the bathroom, but it's like too thick. Like the crowd's too thick, so I'm like,
sure.
I loosely yak on a couple people, but they were cool with it because we all became friends the next day. But,
okay.
And I know you're probably like, yeah, the fuck right, but they really were gems.
Okay, so who bought you the shot that you puked?
The guy that had a girlfriend that had been chatting.
Okay, so you get him to buy you a shot.
Yeah.
You run away to puke. You do it on someone. Okay.
And then the rest gets in the bathroom.
Okay.
And then I clean up the old Facemundo, and then Haley gets there and stuff, and the rest of the kind of. This was kind of the after function for the post drinks thing, whatever. We had all gone to this place because we heard they had karaoke.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, great place to shine. So I got on stage and I did a little spiel for Haley and like,
killed
it. Naturally, the speeches at weddings mostly
there
suck
you go.
For the
I'm
most
a
part.
Comedian, in case anyone didn't know, follow me on Instagram.
Yeah. So I do a little ditty.
Totally not obnoxious at all. Okay. So what everyone would expect you to do, you did. I'm just going to go on stage and do a little tight five.
I kept it quick.
This is the thing that I would never do. People come up to me at weddings, they're like, when are you going to? I'm like, no. I'm going to silently judge this.
I just
thing.
Feel like I don't go to a lot of weddings. Like
I can tell. So this is.
Wait, why? Should I not be doing this anymore? I do what feels right in the moment. And Haley is like, here's the thing about
I
Haley.
I like that you're so close with Haley and the family that like they knew this was coming. They knew the Becky storm was coming through. So I understand this. But so get us to the guy that ended up stealing your heart.
Okay, so at some point, one thing led to another. We needed a ride home in the golf cart. So everyone in Sayulita drives golf carts around. I don't know. So we had another girlfriend of ours, Geppetto's boyfriend, come pick us up. So at some point, I don't know when we kindled. I'm pretty sure it was on the dance floor, but I don't remember the very initial moment. I'm gonna have to ask him about that. But at some point, he and I linked up.
You just told the story so out of order that I'm lost.
All right, what?
You left. You do the karaoke.
It wasn't karaoke. I gave a quick.
Oh, you gave a spiel.
Let's celebrate, Haley. Let's raise a toast.
Okay.
Et cetera.
Yeah, you don't go to a lot of weddings because you're not even at the rehearsal dinner and you're giving a toast at the karaoke. I'd be like, who is this fucking person?
Well, whatever.
Right, so you give the toast.
Haley's, by the way, like one of the first people too who in college like let me know I was funny.
Sure, I know.
You have like,
a special place in your heart for her.
She wanted me to be on the mic for her. So I feel
get it. It feels right because
you don't believe me at all. You're like, fuck off.
Someone there looked at their friend, not Haley. Haley loved it. Someone else looked at their friend and was like, can you believe she can't fucking turn it off for 2 seconds? That would be me. I'd be like, what?
No, it was not like that.
I had a friend that once dated a guy who did comedy before I started doing comedy.
Uh-huh.
We all went for dinner and I sat at that dinner making fun of him the whole time, just going, what's the deal with paying for the tab? Like,
you did that to him or he did that to you?
I did it to him because I wasn't in doing comedy. It wasn't even a thought of mine. I just, the idea of it was
just
so.
You were just doing all those terrible things.
Just
that, like,
the worst. So when do you meet the guy? Because we have a show to do. What are you
Dude, I don't know. I don't know.
So
what
that
point.
Night, at some point, you meet the guy.
I remember at some point we started dancing, and it was like, oh, this guy swings me around
place. Exactly
how I want to.
Perfect.
So at that point, we were smitten, and then he and I went and grabbed some street tacos, and then our friend's boyfriend came to pick us up in the golf cart.
We're
driving home. This guy's driving like a reckless motherfucker. We have a plate full of tacos. He hits a speed bump. The tacos go flying.
Okay.
We don't have any dinner. We end up throwing the plate. Just such an asshole, you know? Anyways. He shows like 7 inches of ankle. He's that kind of guy.
Okay.
So
I like that. Okay. No socks and nice shoes. I love it.
Yeah.
So go on.
So then we go back because the Airbnb I ended up staying at, which wasn't the original one I was supposed to stay at, had a casita attached to it.
What's a casita?
It's like a little house. A house in addition to a house.
Okay.
You know? Like, so if you have guests, it has like a little kitchenette, a bathroom.
Got it.
It's for like... ideally a couple.
Did you go home with this guy?
Yes.
Okay.
So we go home, we throw a pool party, and then I go, Geppetto, follow me to the casita.
Okay.
He obliges.
Hook up in the casita.
Yes.
Okay.
So I give him a blowjob in the kitchenette.
I wasn't going to get that graphic, but I'm happy.
Do you not get that graphic on this
podcast?
No, I
do, but I'm not going to, I don't want
to
insult your sensibilities.
Okay. So, well, I liked him that much that I gave him a BJ in the casita, in the kitchenette.
Okay.
Whatever.
Perfect.
And I was like, dude,
Now this is your wedding.
Now I'm getting a little too graphic, but jizz did not taste bad, which I think is a special thing in a man.
Interesting.
Because most of the time, a lot of time it tastes like shit. And I was like, that was not bad.
Okay.
And I remember complimenting him on it verbally.
How did he respond?
He was just laughing. I don't. He's like,
you're like, compliments the chef? What? Ooh, this is not as cummy today. Like, that's one of those things that you're like, oh, this chick gets around. You're like, and I don't mean that as you. I don't think you do, but
ew, you're so right.
To have someone
look
at you after giving you a blowjob and go, is there an oakiness to this cum? Have you been?
Now this filet I could fuck with.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Something about a nice tasting cum that really hits me right.
Ooh,
nodes. The nodes of metallic are not.
Oh God, the oaky nodes of soupy.
Oh, it's not as much like nickels as I knew.
Yeah.
So now you blow them. You go great.
I didn't
tasting.
Make it come across like
you
that.
Come tastes great.
Like, yeah.
Now you wake up together.
Then we go to sleep. We wake up together. Naturally, I'm making him laugh his dick off all morning.
Now
and then
wedding time.
Wedding day. Oh, no, not wedding day. So this next day
there's
is...
There's so much more to the story. You have to go through the
I'm
story
I'm trying
faster.
To hurry
okay.
up. I thought we had
we
a fucking hour.
We didn't need the taco part. I'm letting you know.
I know. That could have gone.
Okay.
I'll try to do it.
Edit in post.
Damn, I always call out my friends for doing too many story details, so I don't mean to do that. It's just all so new that I'm like freaking the fuck out.
I don't blame you because I want to hear about this. I think the audience...
No, you don't. You do not care. You're trying to get to your audience questions. You don't give a fuck about me.
I think this is... here's the thing that if the audience that stuck with us, all three of them, this relates to the podcast because I know you made a bold move. You met someone at a wedding to let people know.
I'm just glad you called me
him,
out.
You tasted his cum.
Well, there's more to it.
Then you go to the wedding, and listen, you made bold moves that I think this audience can learn from.
Do you know what happened after?
This is why I'm asking. So
that's why I'm glowing.
You go to
so
the wedding,
right,
and what happened? Have a fun time.
Just
done.
Can I say this one more part first?
Sure.
Okay, so the next day is the day where there's a catamaran. I'm just saying.
So there's a pre-wedding catamaran?
There's a couple really important moments where I was like, fuck, this guy might be special.
Okay.
And I never think that about anyone. I've been so single for so fucking long. Like, you know, LA is hell.
LA
but like,
does
this,
seem like a special
whatever's happening right
dating.
Now is like real next level. Mm-hmm. It's not real.
You're really enjoying it. Okay.
I think.
Fun
but
time
I'm
on
a
the,
little
so
scared.
You're on the catamaran.
Okay. All right. So Geppetto needs a ride home back to his place. So I'm like, all right, give me the golf car keys. I'll drive his ass home. He gets behind the wheel, takes 80 wrong turns, can't fucking find his way home.
Okay.
But when we get in the car, he looks at me, he goes, "We're really doing it, Harry." Quoted Dumb and Dumber. I
so
was
you're
like
this
oh,
is,
I was like, I'll
oh
marry
my.
You.
I'm done.
I will marry you for that.
Okay.
So even though he can't find his way and keeps going the wrong road 80 times, I'm finally just like, all right, get out. I'm going to drive home. You got to go. Like, just walk home or something. So he walked home and then met on the boat. Boat day was fine. By the end of the day, we all finally got lit. And then we started, you know, making out again. And then he told me he's afraid of sharks. And I was like, all right, whatever. Just get in the water.
Okay.
And
that might be a taco detail.
That night, we ended up trying to meet up. But, like, we were all a little too hammered from the day on the boat. So it didn't happen. It was a lot of, like, puke and rallying and just napping and shit. And so the next day is the day of the wedding. You know, that's the first day that we're kind of like, hey,
it's so now it becomes cute.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah, you're out of your cum tastes great mode. You're in like, you look good dressed up mode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The outfit was on point, everything came together just right.
Okay,
And I was also with like all these friends that, like, you know, and you're just you have a group of friends that really bring out the best in you.
Well, also, the problem with the wedding hang and hooking up at the front end of the wedding is that you become fixed up by the whole wedding. So everyone's interested. Everyone knows you're the most interesting story. Oh, my God, they're hitting it off. He did a Dumb and Dumber quote. That's the word has gone around.
I wasn't telling people the stories as it was
happening. Someone found it. You told one person.
They don't give a fuck, though.
Everyone
knows. There was so much crazy shit happening in this wedding.
Okay.
The thing that was happening at the wedding was that a lot of random people ended up hooking up, but like we were clearly the crowd favorite. People were like, for some reason, you two feel like you work.
This feels like it could be something.
And everyone knows I'm insane, so they're like, this is crazy that Becky and this guy actually might be really two peas in a pod.
Okay, so now the wedding happens, you're having fun. Do you go home after the wedding together?
Yes.
Okay.
So we end up, you know, swinging each other around on the dance floor, having a hell of a time.
Sure.
And then...
It's basically your wedding. You're like, Haley, get the fuck out.
Well, Haley had four.
I'm having a wedding.
Haley had four outfit changes, so hers was clearly more of a fashion show than a wedding.
Okay.
No, the wedding was great.
To those,
and then, and then we went home together that night again, back to the casita, and everyone had bought like a bunch of Mexican Adderall, so they were
Do you have any more of that cum?
I hate you so much, dude.
Go on.
But Lord knows, I would have had some.
Yeah. So then you hook up again.
So we go home. No, it's a little longer. Are you okay with that or not?
Well, we have to get to Portland, but go on.
Oh. We'll get that. That goes quick.
Okay.
So we go home. He loses his phone in the mansion. And then I take a Mexican Valium because I'd never had one before. And it was the best thing I've ever ingested in my life.
Mexican Valium.
Have you ever had one of those?
No.
So I basically, like, we hook up a little bit and then I, like, pass out. And then... he had lost his phone in the house, so he ventured his way back to the house. And to get to the casita, like, you have to go through a jungle, you have to cross a footbridge. It's like Alice in Wonderland and this motherfucker to get to this magical casita. So he finds our gay friend Max, and then he's also had taken my phone with him.
Now you're a thruple.
Which I was worried about, because Max comes up to everyone. And he goes, "Let me fuck all of you," and he's like,
God.
Very open.
Okay, I didn't.
And
mean
I was
to
like,
introduce another character, but
I was like, "Please, please don't let that guy suck your dick. Like, please, just let this be us."
Yeah. don't no surprises, please.
Yeah, please just.
In LA, you never know.
For once, just
be normal.
Just be straight for me, please.
Yeah, please.
You know,
everything's going right. Don't surprise me with, and I float.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So I look at the text in the morning. He had a friend help him find his way back to the casita. He woke me up. We had just the best sex ever. Like,
love it.
This is weird to say too, but like, and every guy will be like, ugh, fuck off. That doesn't make sense. But I don't know if girls listen to this, but it was like,
It was like
didn't need to have an orgasm, so good sex. We eventually just got so exhausted that it was like, okay, this is going to work.
So you're,
let's just.
I'm sure women will identify with that.
I was also on Mexican Valium, so I don't know how that affects things.
But you're like, this sex was great, but it didn't get to there, but you knew like the vibe was there. You knew it was coming at some point.
Yeah, I was like, something special. His dick is like, it's something, the shoe fits.
Okay, perfect.
And
shoe fits is a great way to put
it. You know? And
so the wedding ends.
Wedding ends, and then the next morning we wake up, woke up again, whatever. And that's when he like starts finding, he found out slowly along the weekend by people being like, because I guess he went home to his friend Bryce and he's like, she was really funny. And they were like, well, she's a comedian. He didn't know that. And
he didn't know.
He was like, I heard you're a comedian. And then he started saying some things that I wasn't okay with. Like, you're a comedian? You'll think this is funny. And then he wouldn't tell a funny story. And I was like, okay, so he's going to need a little bit of training. And
that's okay.
Well,
not everyone deals with a comic every day.
And if he can deal with the fact that I dress up like a boy half the time, I'm good with it.
Sure.
And he's weird, too. He works in, like, private equity, but he's a fucking weirdo.
Okay.
So that's why it kind of works.
So now you're texting. You go home for the holiday.
Go home for the holidays. He's in L.A. I have to go straight to Aspen to do some shows. Mm. We're, like, we FaceTime a couple times, and then I go home to Portland, and we FaceTime. And then we had a FaceTime the night of Thanksgiving, and we're just, he was going to pick me up at the airport on Sunday, and he was like, somehow it came up that he should just fly out to Portland for the weekend.
And he came.
And he came.
See, this is when I entered into the story, because I saw the wedding post. You
that's
know,
when
on
you
Instagram
were like,
story.
Oh, it's content worthy for Jared Free.
Well,
social.
Now I'm getting involved, because I'm like, because you're updating everyone. This guy is coming, who I met at the wedding, to my hometown. Are you staying at home with your parents?
Well, my sister lives in downtown Portland.
Okay.
My parents still live at our house in the suburbs.
Gotcha.
So
are you staying with your sister?
We were like, we can do whatever. That's, every time I go home, it's like interchangeable.
I got
depending
you. So,
on whatever we're
but
doing.
But there was a way to get away from parents. You could be...
Yes. So and there was a part of me that I was like, fuck, should I get a hotel? But then I was like, no, my parents have bedrooms. Like, Sarah, my sister is a couple years older than me, and she was like, you guys can have my bed. It's fine. Whatever. So she was being super helpful.
A random dude from a wedding. Yeah. She's like, get him in my bed.
She threw up shrimp cocktail once in my dorm bed. So that bitch has owed me for years.
Yeah. Okay. So now... He comes. It's like,
I'm like, the morning of that he's coming and like my parents know, I'm like freaking the fuck out.
And you're freaking out.
I poured like a Bailey's coffee at like 8 a.m. I was like hyperventilating. I was like, okay, let's meditate. Whatever I got to do, let's work out to like,
and
this
did it
is
go
so
great?
Weird. And the reason I was freaking out is because he seemed like he was a little scared too. He was like, I can't believe we're doing this.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is one of those things that it's like, I'm happy for you because you were like, we connect, we're hanging out.
Something's here.
Just come. Whatever.
Easy peasy.
And your parents
and like,
seem
so
cool.
Vocal.
They seem fun.
Yes.
So you're like, I have a good relationship with my parents. You know, I'm assuming you're like, I can work through this if it goes bad. But I'm pretty sure this is like an 80%, 20% thing.
Yes.
I'm 80% sure this is going to go just as fine. If it doesn't work out in the future, it doesn't work out.
Totally.
But this will be a fun little ride.
I kind of, and I hope this doesn't come across wrong too, but like there was a piece of me that was like, if like emotionally or mentally we stop clicking or something, the sex will be fine.
Well, this is the thing, because people email into this podcast, mainly women, and a lot of their questions are like, will this look crazy? Will this mess it up? I mean, this is a scenario where it can happen.
Yeah.
What I liked about what you did, you had the guy come, he comes, you went to dinner with your parents twice.
Twice. Well, the thing was, so me and my sister picked him up together from the airport, because Sarah is the best judge of character.
Okay.
Of character. And she, it took a while, I mean, it wasn't like she didn't like him at first or anything, but she like, it was clicking.
Sure.
Like, and the fact that she liked him means when your sister likes whoever your Geppetto is, it's like, oh, fuck.
It's like, for real. So now, and then you bring him to the parents to have dinner. They're sitting next to each other. They're hitting it off. He's making your dad laugh.
Yeah.
And it's like,
They're talking about money shit that I don't understand.
Perfect.
Me and my mom are cheersing, like, what's happening?
What I love about this is that, like, when it works, it works.
Yeah.
Will it work in the future? Who knows?
I don't know.
But that's what a relationship is. Yeah. All relationships are that. But If someone's into it,
yeah,
you could be like, come to my house after Thanksgiving, buy a flight, you know, get on a Southwest flight right now. And they'll go, yeah, who cares? There's no such thing as crazy or like scaring someone away.
That's how I feel.
And I like that you drove your bus.
Yeah, it's like if you have the money, why not? You have the money and the feeling, go for it.
Go for it.
You'll figure it out. And so he was texting the groom and I was texting the bride. And I was like, tell me everything I need to know about him. And he was doing everything the same.
Yeah.
And then when we FaceTimed the night before he booked his flights, he was like, let's go through all of our flaws really quick and see if we have any deal breakers.
These are the kind of conversations that are fun.
Of course.
Like, this is all like sexy fun. You know the sex is coming. That's beyond the point. The idea that like someone's like, well, can I tell? No. You can say whatever you want if someone's down.
Yeah.
And this, it feels, I understand this. As, you know, this is a story that you go, I like that you're telling it here because there are people that will connect with this. They'll go, well, I don't know.
I'm actually so happy I get to tell this here because this is like peak our age shit. And the fact that it happened was so crazy. And my dating life has been such a mess in the past.
So what's the plan now? You guys are back and...
So this morning, okay, so we ended up flying back home from Portland together last night. Went to dinner with my parents again, and then my parents drove us to the airport. Hugged him harder than they hugged me.
Do you have another date plan?
Can I tell you a joke that happened at dinner that was blew my dick off?
Before you do that, we are sponsor people. Postmates. Are you craving a partner like Becky is?
God,
the kind who answers your beck and call, the one you can call to bring you sushi at 11:30, red wine at midnight, and a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m., or maybe just fly to your door and deliver you that D. You can stop swiping. Postmates is here, and they're saying, hey, girl. Postmates is your personal delivery Sherpa. They'll bring you groceries, bottle of water, or really anything, anytime you want. So with Postmates, there's no more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. And here's the thing. Limited time, Postmates is giving my listeners $100. That's $100. Yeah, you heard me right. $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Free money, people. To start your free deliveries, download the app right now. Use code JTRAIN. That's JTRAIN for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Get anything you need, anytime you need it. Download Postmates and save with code JTRAIN. Postmates, get what you want out of life. So... Yeah. So what happened at dinner?
Okay, so we had one of my sister's friends with us, Abby, who's had a pretty tragic love life. And she goes, if the conversations get weird, I'll just ask everyone's three bucket list items. I was like, okay, first off, it's not going to be weird. It's our family. We're like, we're all
everyone
insane.
Will figure it out.
Yeah. So she stops conversation. She got a little too drunk. And she's like, what's everybody's three bucket list items?
What is she, the aunt that asked for what everyone's thankful at a Thanksgiving? This is awful.
She works for Tillamook Cheese, if that helps.
What? Oh, Tillamook.
It's an Oregon thing.
I know it. I know it from the Delta flights.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Geppetto has to answer. I wish I remembered the other two things. I just texted him and asked him because I don't remember. But he basically was along the lines like, I want to skydive. I want to go to wherever. And I want to get away with murder. And I go, Geppetto. I go, Geppetto, how dare you not include me in one of your bucket list items? And my dad goes, Beck. Did you not hear him say he wants to get away with murder?
There it is.
I was like, Dad.
Dad's in on the joke.
Dad, that's fucking hilarious.
Dad's in on the weird weekend guy that came out of nowhere that's going to murder you joke.
Oh, okay. They were Viking Super Bowl Pearl Jam Live, Water Slide Park, and getting away with murder.
Look, he got right back to your text in
well,
3 seconds.
Of course he did.
So what's the plan now? Do you have a date plan?
I don't know. Maybe. I have a meeting in Hollywood tomorrow, and I was like... I know he works over near that area, so I was like, if you want to meet up, let me know.
What'd he say? This is the one problem, is you guys have like been to like relationship.
It's so hard because I think
now you have to go to dating, you have to go back down to dating base camp.
Here's the thing. He's a little bit of a freak, and so am I, which is fine. So it like works. But like weird stuff like this morning when he woke up, he went, Alexa, play like it wasn't a Tasha Bedingfield. It was like something bad.
Okay.
And like started singing it and looping around. And I was like, oh, Jesus. You know, yeah, I kept having to be like, I thought I was annoying. I was like, shut the fuck up.
So
he drove me home this morning because he works like on the way. My house was like basically on the way to his work. And he had like business calls the whole way in the morning on the way to the airport, which I had full respect for after coming off the weekend.
I
put him through. And he was all jacked up about there's a Vikings game tonight,
yep.
I guess.
Yep.
So I let him know that I had the thing tomorrow at 4 o'clock near Viacom. I said, if you want to meet after and caress each other, is what I said.
You need a date. I think you need a normal
date. He goes, I don't comprehend. I'm too sad from the Vikings. Does that mean boobs and compliments? And I said, cheer up, Charlie. And then I just asked him his 3 Viking list options. Wait, what do you mean?
I don't know, because I think you need a date. I think because you need some normalcy. This has been so...
I hate dating.
I know, but you're not dating.
And it already feels like we're married. Like we've traveled together. He knows the family.
I hear you, but that's the thing where it's like,
I even hated dating in long-term relationships. What do you mean by that? Like we need to eat together? Or what do you mean?
What? Don't you want to go out and get some drinks with him? Like, I'm not saying like a date.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why don't you just say, hey... Thursday night, I have a show, and then after that, I want to go out in West Hollywood. Do you want to come?
That's what I just asked him about tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. And he has, what's the deal?
Well, I guess he said he didn't comprehend, because I said if you want to meet after and caress each other.
Yeah, that's not really what you asked.
But it's like, get the joke, you
know?
Let's
do some emails. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Go follow Becky for the end of this story. Or whatever it is. Maybe you guys get married and have kids, and this is what they'll follow from now on. They'll be there when.
I took a plan B today, so I don't think
that'll
happen.
At Becky Robinson 4. She's full of plan B, ready to give advice. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Did I dodge a serial killer? Jared started talking to a very attractive guy on Hinge about a week ago. We eventually exchanged numbers and Snapchats and kept talking every day. Honestly, he was a little overbearing and seemed a little too infatuated with what I was doing all day, but what I was doing all day, but I decided to ask him out anyways. We had a date scheduled, and the day of, he tried to reschedule because he said his barber canceled on him and he didn't want to meet me without getting a haircut. He got very angry when I called out that he sends me selfies on a daily basis and that he was blatantly blowing me off for a dumb reason. Long story short, he put on his Snapchat story that he went out to the bar we were supposed to meet at anyways. I politely told him he wasn't for me, but I'm still getting daily texts. I'm freak out. Did I just make the right decision to assume that this guy's a serial killer and not go out with him? What gives? Damn. Have you ever had a situation like that?
I wonder what kind of daily texts she's getting inundated with.
It doesn't matter as much as it matters that he's just...
Well, he clearly has some insecurities, or he's a bullshitter with the haircut lines and stuff like that.
I don't think he is who he says he is on the app. I think this is like catfish maneuvers.
Yeah, yeah.
This is someone that is on the app and gets to the point of meeting you and then goes, no, never mind, and is sending you selfies, but like has
sending her the selfies?
Yeah, and it's like, if your problem, the problem with the haircut, there's something missing here.
There's this same exact thing just happened to my friend Miriam, and I have no trust for this guy and I want to kill him.
Yeah.
And I feel like, run for the hills.
You got to run for the hills. I would block the number.
Yeah.
I would stop texting with the person. Here's the thing.
Break down if there's a value add.
Becky just told you a story where she couldn't make a wrong move. And that's the thing. Like, this is why I loved your story, because some people would go, you told him his cum tastes good? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you introduced him to your dad? Like, it's like, you keep, like, at the blackjack table, they're like, you don't hit on 17. You were hitting on 17 and getting threes. You were hitting on 18 getting threes. You were hitting on, you know what I mean? Like, you were staying on 10 and then winning the hand.
Yeah.
This is the thing. There are no rules.
No rules.
So when someone makes you...
Don't worry about rules. Don't worry about love books that teach you anything. Everything is interchangeable and has to be unique to your own.
And so here's the thing.
And based off feeling. And also reach out to your best fucking friends. Sometimes your family, but like your friends that really know you for advice on that. Let them meet him and decide too.
Here's the other thing. You can't... tell someone how to feel, and if he's making you feel uncomfortable, goodbye. No one has time to be with people that make them feel uncomfortable, especially if you've never met.
You got so much more you can do in the world. Don't even dwell on it.
@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Can you teach a one pump chump? Jared, giving you all the feathers, but let's get right to the point. I have a serious problem. I'm 27, living in Philly, and been casually seeing this guy for about a month. He's attractive, treats me very well, very into me in most categories. He checks all the boxes. Seems like a no-brainer to move forward with things, except there's one big problem. He hasn't been able to satisfy me sexually yet. Each time we've had sex, he autopilots into either one-pump chump territory, coming in 5 minutes or less, until tonight when we went out and got a little drunk. For background, he's a firefighter, so I blame the one-pump chump syndrome on him being tired. I'm also aware that I'm more sexually experienced than him, so I thought I could karate kick my way out of this one and teach him the ways. Tonight, however, things have shown to be more serious problem. We both got a little loose at the bar and then back to my place. Things got steamy quickly, and then he started jackhammering with his smallish dick.
Sounds like the main thing is here. You fucking hate his small ass dick.
I don't want to be conceited.
Which, bitch,
as
I love you for that.
He's a wonderful person. It makes me feel great when we are.
There's a lot
the
of wonderful guys, but if the dick ain't right, shawty, it ain't right.
But I'm very
cut that shit
person,
loose. A lot of good dicks out there.
And
sorry.
I'm wondering if this is something we can move past, or if sexual chemistry is just inherent, and I should call it quits. Would hate to toss away a good guy, but sex has always been a big part of relationships for me, and I'm not sure how to handle this one. Thank you for the sage advice. I've attached some photos. Would love a celeb lookalike. Our producer usually gives celeb lookalikes.
Do you have a photo here?
But
let me see.
He's very good at it.
Can you find out what, if any, pills he's on that might be affecting his sex stuff? Do you think that's helpful at all?
I think that...
what do you think?
I mean, what you were saying as I was reading the email makes a lot of sense. Sometimes this chemistry is just not there. Sometimes, and as you put it with your guy, the shoe fit. Small dick doesn't matter as much as it does to guys if that's what you like. I know there's some woman being like, small dick, go fuck yourself. I'm just saying.
One time I gave him really hard on a small dick and I was shocked, but it was like he knew just what to do with it.
There you go. So, I mean, and I'm not saying, I'm not like here like, you know, like saying like, don't, you know, the shoe's got to fit.
Yeah.
So this shoe doesn't seem to fit.
Yeah, just don't force anything.
And nice guys are fine, but like, it's okay to, here's the problem with not putting sex into the relationship pie is that you become, you start to hold it against the guy. And it comes into other places of your life. If you're not being satisfied in the bedroom, then you start getting angry, you start getting resentful because the person isn't giving you that. And you're thinking, well, you won't give me that, but the other stuff is just okay. So it starts relating. Two ways to go about it. You got to talk to him about it. Have a conversation. Just be like, ask him. I would even do the trick that I've given out on this podcast before where it's tell him you had a dream about him going down on you. Let him do some more foreplay. Let it see how he is at that. If that doesn't really connect and get across, then maybe these two things aren't connected.
I couldn't agree more.
J-Train Podcast.
I really could not agree more.
J-Train Podcast.
Well, it doesn't work. It doesn't fucking gmail. work. You know what I'm saying? I just got a voice note from
Becky
Geppetto.
Robinson 4.
Should I play it?
I mean, is it going to help? I mean, is it going to...
No, let's keep answering questions.
Let's do some questions.
Okay, but we do have a loose date set for tomorrow now that you said that.
What's the date?
Maybe drinks after work.
This is a good one.
What? What do we got?
Do I tell my ex to stop messaging me if I still like him?
Wait. Do I tell my ex to stop messaging me if I still like him?
In the spring, I met a guy on Hinge. We hit it off pretty quick. I made it clear from the beginning that I wasn't looking for anything serious because I knew his visa was ending in the fall. And he would have to leave the country.
Talking 90-day fiancé in this bitch.
I live in a very transient tourist town. This is a common problem. I wanted to be very clear with him because the start, I could tell that he liked me maybe more than I liked him. And I was also trying to guard my feelings so it didn't hurt when he left. Surprise, surprise, I did not guard my feelings well enough and developed feelings for him. Sometime during the summer when we were hanging out 3 to 4 times a week. In September, we said goodbye and he flew back home for good. I was sad about it, but it was the unavoidable and tried to get over it. The process of getting over it has been made a hell of a lot harder by the fact that he keeps Snapchatting, Instagram DMing, and Facebook messaging me how he misses me and how he wishes I could come to Australia. Of course, I respond to these messages because I do miss him and it's cuffing season and I'm lonely. I've tried to get back on the apps but had 4 mediocre hangouts with another guy and I wasn't really feeling it and haven't really wanted to keep trying because I'm not in the right mindset right now. I don't even know how much of my missing him is missing him specifically or just being lonely. Wow, that sounds sad because I keep thinking of my ex before him too. though not with the same fondness because he was a real mess of a human who really fucked with me. Anyways, what do you think I should do? Should I stop replying to his messages? Should I tell him that both of us know we'll never see each other again, that messaging is only bringing our toying with our emotions? He can't move back here because his visa was a two-year thing, and immigrating to Canada isn't very easy. And I have no desire to ever move to Australia for a guy I dated for 6 months. I have a good career. Here my entire family lives here, and Australia is hot and full of snakes and spiders. Should I just count on the fact that he will eventually find someone else and stop messaging me? The first two options seem the most difficult because I do still miss him, and I don't want to be the mean one here. What do you think?
What's this person's name?
We don't do that.
Okay, first off, I want to be best friends with you, whoever you are.
Okay.
Australia's full of snakes and spiders, number one. Her. Yeah, not for you, bitch. Do not fucking head over there. Also, no, dude, Australia, you got to be careful with that, you know? I think sounds like there's some things wrong and you don't. If he's inundating you on all those apps and won't
all
get out
of
your ass,
of
like
social media,
man, if you have to, at one point I had to block someone on everything and it sucked because I was like, am I wasting more time stalking them on fake accounts? But then I was like, no, you can't have them blowing you up because then they're already taking up part of your mind and your day and your life, and that's a space in your brain that you could be filled with something else, something more positive.
Here's the problem. I agree with you. It's taking up headspace it doesn't deserve. The problem is he's not messaging. He's messaging you because he gets off a little bit to the response from you. He is telling you, you being responding to him is giving
him. So what
him
are you
something.
Saying by that? He deserves to get off a little bit by that?
No.
Okay.
What I'm saying is why he's doing it.
I see.
It's not.
Do you think those are his intentions?
Well, I would say that, like, right now, it produces negativity in her mind and only positivity in his mind. So he's being selfish. Mm. He knows that there's no meeting that's going to happen.
And he's like, he probably doesn't even know. He's not even aware of it.
He is only getting good from this because he doesn't. To him, he's going, it's a hot chick I used to bang that will text me anytime I text her.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel good because he's lonely too. Here's the thing. It's not affecting him in the way it's affecting you. You have to let him know, hey, we need to stop texting right now.
Yeah.
That's what you have to let him know. And it's not, you're not being mean. You're saying.
But she has to say more than that. She says not that we have to stop texting. You got to be like, get off my ass on Twitter. Get off my ass on Facebook and Instagram.
But it's okay to say, hey, I enjoyed meeting you in the time we had. We'll be better off for the experience. I need to let you know right now that I am not willing to do this forever, and I got to stop texting with you because it makes me feel sad every time you text.
Yeah.
The problem with saying to him, it makes me feel sad every time you text, is that he then takes that as...
Did she say what specifically about it makes her sad?
Well, she's lonely. She even said that. But, okay. But because it produces sadness, he goes, oh, you care. And that makes him feel good, too.
Yeah.
So you say,
well,
because
she's a good person with a big heart, probably.
But here's the problem. Then at this point, you say, I am blocking you on all platforms. Please don't take this as an I hate you. This is for me to get better.
Yeah.
So this is you driving the bus. This is you saying, I got to drive away from you. You do not have a say in this.
Okay, so Shawty, this is your Jesus take the wheel moment.
Time to go.
Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're sponsor people. Upstart, upstart, upstart. Most of us find out the hard way. Getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your FICO score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's upstart.com, a revolutionary lending program that knows that you're more than just your credit score. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Upstart interest rate is based on your education and job history, not your credit score. That's huge. Upstart doesn't care about the bills you didn't pay 5 years ago. They care about the person you are now and give you a rate based on that. Plus, they make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes without affecting your credit score. That's huge. So if you're out there with some debt and you're curious about how to figure that debt out, Upstart's the place to go. And the loan is approved in the very next business day. The next day, over 200,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, fund their wedding, or to make large purchases. I got to tell you, debt is something that hangs over you. It's if you can figure out a way to make it happen that makes it less, You got to look into it. And that's where Upstart comes in. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. Hurry to upstart.com/JTrain. That's upstart.com/JTrain, upstart.com/JTrain, to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/JTrain. Go check it out here with Becky Robinson.
Check it out now. Is that the end?
At Becky Robinson. That's the end. Four. We got, let's do one more email.
Okay, yeah.
Let's do one more.
Everyone's coming in with such good questions. This shit is so difficult to work through.
It's tough. It's tough for everyone.
And it's hard because some of your friends have good advice and other ones you're like, ugh. Sometimes you got to take everything with a grain of salt. Go ahead. Sorry.
Is she really sick? That's why they come here. The friends really.
Is she really sick?
Feather, big fan of you and Classic Shelves, who seems like a much better person than a woman who I recently dated who also went by the name Shelves. Now to the situation. I started dating a woman for about a month. We had 5 dates in that time, and it would have been more, but I was away for a long weekend. Last week, communication started to fade a little because she was busy with work, but she told me not to read anything into that. And in fact, she would talk to me about everything going on at work when we did talk. Then a couple of days later, I get a text from her saying she got some medical news, so she needed some time to herself. She wouldn't be dating for a while. I was shocked but understood. If you're sick, that takes priority. But one thing continues to bug me. She's still active on the dating apps we met on. And should I read into that? What do you think? Okay. Any thoughts?
Can you nutshell that?
Here's another.
Are you editing this?
No.
Oh.
The people have to hear
sorry.
How good a listener you are.
Sorry, I got an important text.
What was the text?
It doesn't matter. Just work stuff.
Work. Is everything okay?
Everything's
great.
Are
you sick? Do you have to leave this podcast?
No.
Like this guy's got left.
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
Guy met a girl, went on 5 dates. Then she said she got sick and she needs some time to take care of that.
And then she never explained the sickness.
And then she's still active on dating apps. What do you think?
She never broke down what the sickness was? Sick off that deal.
Medical news is what she said.
Man, that shit's real. I mean,
yeah. It's not real. She didn't want to date you anymore. Here's the thing.
Well, goddamn, you never
Here's
know.
Here's the thing. Women will give you more chances, even if they don't like you. They'll go on another date because listen to the email about the woman with the guy with a small dick.
Does he think she's the one?
Doesn't matter. Two people have to think they're both the one to be the one. So it takes. You know, it's a two-sided contract.
Well, some people like work on stuff and really go after stuff and pursue shit, so.
Here's the thing. Go listen back to the girl's email who wrote in about the guy with the small penis who fucks her wrong. Okay? Look at how many chances she's giving that guy. So this woman who, listen, you went on 5 dates. You had a good time. What does Maya Angelou say? Believe people.
Is that what Maya Angelou said?
Maya Angelou has a great quote. We've quoted it here before.
Believe people?
People tell you who they are.
Yeah, I feel like you butchered it or shortened it quite a bit.
Sorry, I was doing this podcast by myself for 2 minutes. So I had to. Here's the quote. When people show you who they are, believe them. Okay? When people tell you they don't want to go out again, believe them. And let the ball be in their court.
Of course.
All you can do, listen, whatever the excuse is, they're just trying to get out of being mean to you. So medical excuses, what she thought was the best thing to say. I'm not saying it's right to do that to people, but what I am saying is, hey, let her off the hook. You say, sounds good. I wish you the best. I hope you get better. Let me know when you're ready to get out again because I'm here. So you leave the door wide open while you move out.
Right. Here's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I would, if you can, yeah, just like Jared said, I would say, like, hey, I had the absolute best time with you on those 5 dates. Just so you know, I think you're really, really fucking special and think that maybe there's something there, even if the sickness is, like, totally messing with your head and, like, you want someone to talk to about it and you feel weird about it in terms of dating. Like, I'm just let her know I'm here for you because I just can't imagine what if she just found out she had cancer. Like, her whole life she's like everything's changing now.
Here's the thing. Let's say she did find out she had cancer.
Okay.
A fun subject on a podcast about comedy. So let's say she found out she had cancer. That was actually what happened. Here's what you don't do to people you love.
Mm-hmm.
Get away from me. I don't need your help. She's letting him know And he's saying, well, I'll be at the hospital. I'll be at the treatments. I'll be there. And she's going, no. I'm literally telling you, I need time to myself to be with my family.
All right.
But I see what you're saying.
I think there's
like,
nothing wrong with if he had such a good time with her on 5 days, just letting her know that, all sickness aside.
But here's the thing.
Oh, God. What?
The issue that becomes with that is that, I mean, go back to the girl with the guy. She's trying to figure out how to work out the sex with a guy she doesn't like having sex with. To me, people give people so many chances. He already gave you 5 chances. Then had to hypothetically create a sickness that maybe not doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So she's obviously dealing with the idea that you're a nice guy. You're a good person. The toughest thing right now is that no one's pressuring. Not a lot of people are getting pressured into marry the next guy. So they're going, hey, they're great, but I don't feel it. But then everyone's going, you're going to toss away a great guy without going out with him? And it's like, that's okay to do. That's okay to say, hey, we're not the match. And it's like the way she's trying to get out of it is saying the sickness.
You think so when for sure? Push,
but it's like, if someone says something like that to me, I don't sit there going, well, tell me. They're obviously
not
willing to
tell.
Yeah, you
don't, but some people do.
Yeah, but this is they've been on 5 dates. They don't,
I guess I just don't see, unless it like totally breaks his heart, what he could lose out on by just like lending a hand.
But I'm saying
there's nothing
to push on. Like
no,
if someone,
to push on
but
at
I'm
all.
Saying if someone said to me, "Hey, I get a text from her saying she got some medical news, needed some time to herself, and wouldn't be dating for a while."
Mm.
If my text
what about
back,
butt stuff.
If my text back was, "I loved your butt. I need to be inside of it, and I know that you don't want me in your butt, but if you ever are looking for a place to put your butt, I'm here, and my face
I'm
is
local.
Willing to receive your butt." And I'll even put my tongue in your butt. I'd be like, oh, I just told you the time to myself. I used sickness to get you to get away from me. And now it's like someone's, you know what? She's taking a flame and waving it at the bear. Yeah. And the bear's going, no, I put on a fire retardant suit. I'm good. And you're like, no, I got the fire. Get the fuck away from me. And that's not to say he isn't a great guy. But I'm saying you're wasting energy and time. When someone says, I need time to myself, let that happen. JTrain podcast.
I'm just saying, maybe not, but that's because I'm an aggressive, high testosterone ass girl who says, you miss 100% shots you don't take.
The problem
that's
is.
That's all. I feel
you're
like.
Being disrespectful to the excuse.
Okay, fine.
Sometimes excuses are
if
meant to be.
If it isn't
taken.
An excuse, but you don't know that for sure.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
They just told you, I need time to myself, didn't they? Okay. Hey, Becky.
Oh, I see.
I need time for myself.
Okay.
And then you go, well, I'll be there with soup.
I'm not
I'll
asking
go, no,
her.
No, no, no.
I'm
get the
her.
Fuck out of my house.
No, I'm not asking her to say that. I'm just asking her to let her know, like, hey, I can't imagine if you're feeling like a bunch of feelings, but I'm here just in case you were to ever want anything at all, thought you were super cool,
to me,
period.
No, that doesn't really like.
If you for sure think it's an excuse, you know dating app shit better than I do. You've been doing this for a long time.
I'm just saying that is also not
sorry,
the type
I come
of,
from a long line of cancer, all right?
The point is, that's really a pathetic move.
Okay.
Because someone said, I need time for myself. I don't think anyone
well,
goes.
Coming from
well,
a person
said,
who's really in love right now, I don't really care about
hey,
who's feeling pathetic.
I can't. Hey, and as soon as the treatments are done, I'm here waiting. Please, God, please. And know that I'll be waiting here with flowers. And it's like,
what's wrong
that
with
ain't
that?
Gonna get her. That's going to make
how
her rethink.
How do you know that?
I know that. It's just the reality of life.
I don't.
Text your guy right now, Geppetto,
and
just be like, please come out with me tomorrow.
He already said yeah.
Okay.
It's done. He's in love.
We'll see.
I
follow
think.
Becky on Instagram to see if this works out. At Becky
guys,
Robinson
I'm terrified. So if you have any advice
Instagram.
From me, I'll be posting about it a lot on Instagram. If you guys have any insights from my ass, I'm working through this one day at a time. It has never happened like this.
Good. We wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you
J-Train
so much. JTrain
podcast at gmail.com. I'm Jared Fried. We're every Tuesday and Friday. Go spread the word. Tell a friend. We'll be back next episode. Boom.